May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. Junior church begins again next week. So that'll be really nice for the children. Have you got something to do this morning? Have you got colouring sheets and all that kind of stuff? Yeah, okay. So if you colour for the next 10 minutes, and I'll speak mostly to the adults. Two guys were talking, two older guys, and one of them was bragging a little bit and showing off, and he said that he'd just purchased the most expensive hearing aid ever made. And he said it's imported and it's digital. It's guaranteed for life. And the second chap, he says to me, he says, "Well, what kind is it?" He says, "Oh, it's 20 past three." If you want to talk to the person next to you, if they're laughing, they'll explain it. There's lots of jokes about hearing, aren't there? It's not a very pleasant thing. It's not a pleasant thing. And people who have hearing problems, they feel excluded. And it does make you a bit isolated. And the passage today is about a man who's deaf. And, of course, because he's probably been deaf from birth, he can hardly speak. He can't hear, he can't talk, he can't communicate. Probably he'd had those difficulties since a very young child. He probably, he'd gone to school probably, such as they had in Jesus' time, and he'd have been humiliated and laughed at. He'd have been poked fun at by neighbours and what have you. He wouldn't have been popular. And of course, at the time, if you were sick or you didn't have obvious signs of blessing in your life, then it was considered that perhaps God was judging. You'd done something wrong. And so he would have felt humiliated and looked down upon. And, he wouldn't have been able to get a good job. He wasn't covered by the Jewish law. He was excluded, just like slaves were, because he'd had this disability. So emotionally, physically, and spiritually, this poor chap who was brought to Jesus was really, really down. He was in a bad place. And he was not reaching his full potential. Little wonder that in the Old Testament, 700 years before this episode, when they looked to the time of the Messiah coming, they said it would be a time when the ears of the deaf would be unstopped and the tongue of the dumb would shout for joy. That would be a sign of the Messiah coming. Isaiah wrote that. A sign of the Messiah coming. The ears opened, the tongue loosened. This would be something to show that God was acting in a special way. Now, I guess today that man would have been given all kinds of help. Medically, we can do things for people. We can put implants in. We can do operations. We can do visual communication, sign language, all kinds of stuff. But, nevertheless, still today, there are many people who aren't reaching their full potential. There are many people who might be able to hear and speak, but they're not physically or spiritually or emotionally well. And many people can be physically well, but cut off from others in lots of different ways. And I was reading this week about a chappie called Marcus Persson, who's a billionaire. Did you see this in the news? He invented Minecraft, the computer game. And he says he was a lonely man, isolated. He got money, he got his health, he got everything. But he says he sat watching his reflection in a monitor. How sad. And he said, the problem with getting everything is you run out of reasons to keep trying. And human interaction becomes impossible due to imbalance. We may be able to do all kinds of things today. We can cure people physically through medicine. But human need is as great as it ever was. As great as it was at the time when this man went to Jesus. And in spite of all the things that we've discovered and invented and all the wonderful things that we've been able to do, human need is as great as it ever was. So humanity is in just as great a need of healing today as it was when Jesus met this man who was deaf and dumb. And so we look at the passage today and we say, what can we learn about what Jesus can do in our time? And the first thing I'm going to say is we often say, people have a special touch. You often see this. People who deal very well with animals. Is Valerie here this morning? She's not, is she? No, but she's very good with dogs, isn't she? With her guide dogs and stuff like that. Babies who are crying, perhaps when they come for baptism, you noticed I've got the special touch. People have a special touch. When you look at Jesus, he has the healing touch. That's what you see about him. Throughout his life, Jesus has the healing touch. When he touches things, he makes things well. He makes things well again. And we're told in the passage that, after this healing had taken place, everyone said about Jesus, he's done everything well. He heals people. He has a healing touch. Those who are troubled find peace. And you know, we've got to ask, I suppose, are we like that today? And do we convey Jesus' healing touch to those who we meet? You know, sometimes Jesus touched them physically, sometimes he touched them emotionally and spiritually, but Jesus had this healing, compassionate way of dealing with people. We're told that in John's Gospel once, Jesus went past a man who was born blind, and the disciple said to him, whose fault is it that this man was born blind? Was it him, or was it his mum, or his dad? And Jesus would have nothing to do with that at all. He's very, very firm. He said, neither that man nor his parents have sinned. And I think the reason why Jesus did that was because he didn't want to attribute blame. Because often the first thing that we need to do if we're going to give the healing touch is not to start blaming people. This is really, really important. Once you stop blaming people, healing can happen. And we don't walk by on the other side because we don't say, well, it's your own fault. And our common humanity must cause us to be motivated by a desire to want and help others and not to blame them. And that's what Jesus does. He refuses to blame and he reaches out and he touches. Now, you might say that was a reasonable response to someone who's got a physical ailment. And at the time, that was revolutionary in the way which Jesus behaved. We don't do that now. But quite frequently, I do hear people say, well, it's their own fault. Because we say, well, he smoked all his life. Or they'll say, well, he drank himself into oblivion. Or they'll say, well, he gambled it all away and he brought it on himself and his family. Or we'll say, druggie. That's the problem. And so we say these things to somehow blame a person for their own condition. And when you look at Jesus, you see that he refuses to go down that road. There are no circumstances when Jesus doesn't advocate the healing touch. And I want you to just think back over the Gospels and think about, for instance, the prodigal son, who goes away to live a life of, you know, riley, cavorting around, spending all the money, gets himself into a wicked predicament, and Jesus uses him as the example of how we should behave when we exercise forgiveness. So even someone who just does it wantonly, Jesus refuses to blame. Think about the corrupt tax collector. Jesus doesn't say, well, he was a thief and a vagabond. No, Jesus touches him. And think about other people, that the prostitutes and all the people that everyone in that society would blame and say it's their own fault. Jesus refuses to do that. So he provides a template for us in how to deal with those who are suffering. The first thing is we don't blame them. Don't think whose fault it is. And it's quite interesting. You can't really do a sermon on this Sunday, I suppose, anywhere really, without mentioning something about the terrible atrocities that are going on across Europe at the moment, with all of the asylum seekers and the economic migrants and the refugees and all the people who are, you know, on your news all of the time. It's quite interesting. But when Jesus does this episode, this takes place not in a Jewish place, but in the Decapolis. This is a Gentile place. And it's quite interesting that the healing touch of Jesus knows no borders. No borders. No borders in terms of people's behaviour and no geographical borders either. Jesus just goes into a foreign land and he behaves in exactly the same way. And you know, you've all probably had your heartstrings pulled when you see the terrible death of that little boy on a beach. And I think that probably that was a bit of a tipping point, wasn't it, in everybody? All of a sudden people changed. And I'm absolutely not criticising anyone politically this morning, because I can understand what Mr. Cameron said. You know, he said, we can't take everybody. We're trying to help people in their own countries. And I understand all of that. And it's a massive problem. There are no easy answers. But I think what we can do as Christian people is not to blame, not to say it's anyone's fault. You know, they're this or they're that. We have to act with the same compassion that we would see from Jesus. And that's really, really important. That's the most important thing. Never saying it's somebody else's fault to assuage our own conscience. And of course, even if it was their own fault, Jesus is saying, we still show compassion and love. That's the message of Jesus. And we know that because he did it time and time again throughout his ministry. So just briefly to look at that episode and see what Jesus did when he met the man. The first thing that he does is he takes him aside. He takes the man aside. I think this is very interesting. When I go to see people in hospital, they'll often tell me all about what's wrong with them. Or they won't tell me what's wrong with them sometimes. They'll tell me what they've got. You know, like, I've got this and it does that. And then this happens and they go through all of the condition. And I often say to them, well, what does the doctor say is wrong? And they will say, well, he hasn't really told me. And I say, well, no, he must have told you. What happened? Well, he came and he looked at me and he asked me a lot of questions, then he went away. I say, well, has nobody sort of explained what's going on? They say, no. And sometimes they'll say that a whole group of doctors has been around the bed and they've asked them what symptoms they've got, and then they've just walked away and they haven't told them what's going on. And this is the first rule, really. You've got to start communicating. And we've got to look at the example of Jesus. The first thing he does when he's presented this man who's sick is he takes him aside. And he does a one-to-one. And it's a bit private. You know, it's between Jesus and the man. And it's quite nice because he doesn't make a spectacle or a freak show out of it either. Jesus does it, you know, in a quiet way. I always think it's nice when we respect people's privacy when they come to church. You know, I hate it when someone says that. I was in a service not so long ago. They said, turn to the person next to you and share such and such. I always hate that. I always hate that. I kind of sit there like this, you know. But the thing that Jesus shows is this. He shows this care for the man. He doesn't humiliate him. And that's the first thing. And it's quite interesting. I was away on holiday and I was watching people when they went to dinner. And the family would come down for dinner, or a man and wife would come down for dinner. And, you know, once upon a time, you would sort of, you'd crack open a bottle of wine, or you'd spread it around, you'd have a good old chat. What they would often do is they'd all pull out devices. And they'd be doing so that it was like they could have stayed in their rooms, you know. They're just kind of doing all this. And it's quite interesting because no one was actually present with anyone. And I don't know if you've had the experience where you're talking to someone and they're doing this on the phone. You know, they're not actually present with you. They're somewhere else, though. God knows what they're doing, but they're doing something different. They're not with you. And the thing that Jesus does, he does a one-to-one. He says, look, you have my attention. And I think that's lovely, really, that Jesus just takes the time. And often it's about giving people time, isn't it? And, of course, the man's deaf and dumb. So Jesus doesn't just, you know, assume anything. He starts conversing with the man in a way the man will understand physically. Physically, he doesn't say, your ears are bad, you know. He doesn't do that. He puts his finger, he touches the man in his ears. He touches the man. And he spits and touches his tongue. And it was thought at the time that the spit of wise and healing men, it had healing properties. The Roman emperor spat into the eyes of someone and he was blind and he became able to see. That it was thought that spit had these healing properties. So Jesus uses a way physically of communicating in a way that the man could understand. So again, he's thinking about the other person and caring for him. This wonderful healing way that Jesus has. And of course, the final action that he does, Jesus looks up to heaven. And what he's saying to the man is, look, this isn't a human cure. The healing that you're going to receive is from God. He makes it quite clear that God is going to do something special in this man's life. It's a heavenly thing, a heavenly answer to our earthly problems. That's the important message. So what do we get from the passage this morning? Number one, God cares about everybody. Nobody who's insignificant. And, you know, like the deaf and dumb man, we might feel that life's treated us badly. We might think that we're not very important. But there are no borders to God's love. It's compassion for all without limits. Every human being that's ever been born is important to God. Everyone. All God's children. And the second thing we learn is that whatever problems we face, Jesus has the healing touch. If we allow him to touch our lives in whatever situation we find ourselves, he brings healing. And that's true for us as a community, and it's true for us as individuals. God's strength is sufficient for our needs. Amen.